You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to episode 321 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very excited to talk once again about yet another victory for the Kentucky Wildcats, 93-77 on Senior Day with Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you?
I'm fantastic, Jack Pilgrim. We talked that you just win. Just find ways to win basketball games, which is what we're doing, which is why I'm in a gym right now. So literally just hopping out of practice, getting on here with you, throwing it back a little bit. I'm not in a car, but I'm in a gym. So that's the setting for today.
It's March. The only way to go about doing this is pushing all of our chips in on March. Senior Day, the Rupp Arena schedule, that's done. That's coming and gone. We are now officially in postseason mode, as this trip to Knoxville is basically a postseason game, considering what it means, the standings, the seedings and resume and all that stuff. And then from there, it's down to Nashville. So we're all in. Whether we like it or not, we're all in on this. So, Sean, I don't think there was going to be anything we were going to learn big picture about this team with this game against Vanderbilt. I think we went in with a mindset of you just got to do whatever it takes to win this game and get to Knoxville. I think that was priority number one. You can't let it slip. You cannot have a repeat of what happened last year, Senior Day, where the wheels kind of fell off a little bit. They got the revenge game in Fayetteville, but that just kind of left a bad taste in their mouth about not really picking up that momentum that they needed going into postseason play. So for them to go out and get the 16-point win Senior Day, be able to honor some guys that have really made high-level impacts on this program, that's all I needed to see. Is that everything that you were hoping to see out of the Cats?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the first half, they struggled to make shots there for a stretch, but then they got hot going into the half and then kind of carried that over into the second half. Now, I mean, obviously, if you're asking anyone what their biggest concerns are of this team, other than defensive struggles and stretches, it's probably a bad start or a bad first half in the NCAA tournament where they're trying to kind of dig out of it. But their shot makers made shots to close the half, and then that was the momentum that they carried. I thought they did a really good job with balanced rebounds too and things from over the box score. Like, the box score doesn't look bad. Like, there was a lot of good on it. You shoot 40% from three, you shoot 50% from the floor. You get to the free throw line, shoot almost 89%. Like, you rebounded, out-rebounded by 12. Like, you're right there doing a lot of good. And then there were some stretches, Jack, where I thought that they actually had some good defensive possessions when I watched the game. So, hey, you don't ever apologize for winning. You bounce back, held them to 37 in the second half, and you got close to scoring 50 in both halves. Like, you're right there. Overall, you took care of it. You, like you said, senior night last year, Antonio Reeves went through it and lost to Vandy. This time they beat Vandy by 16, and then they have a little bit of a winning streak here going into the regular season finale. I think that's probably the biggest storyline.
And this is a team that has – a lot of stuff going on in terms of, saying goodbye to Antonio Reeves, him kind of going through his own All-American campaign, Trey Mitchell coming back and finding, so the individual storylines, you could kind of understand where they're not distractions, but where things were a little bit bigger than basketball with this matchup. So I almost went in when the line opened at 19.5. I was like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. So for them to kind of play the way you expect early, and again, when you have Kareem Watkins starting and you kind of are dealing with the noise of Senior Day, you expect some stuff. You expect nonsense. So for them to bounce back, kind of overcome some of those early adversities, hit back-to-back-to-back-to-back threes to close out the first half, and then really just kind of take that momentum into the second half and just kind of take off and hit cruise control from there. I really like that response because, to be point blank period, Jerry Stackhouse is fighting for his coaching career, like fighting for his job. So this was a game that he kind of needed to kind of save, maybe prolong the inevitable there. So UK was able to fight some of those things off and just do whatever it took to do that. I love, you know, the numbers were what they were. Rob Dillingham was excellent down the stretch. Antonio Reeves, again, Mr. Consistent, 20 points. You know, Cal had some really, really awesome things to say about Antonio Reeves, where he was just like, dude, he just stays in the gym and works. Like, sometimes it's not this miracle, you know, magic trick. It's not like it was, you know, he drank this, you know, the Jordan juice, like from Space Jam. Like, it just boils down to being in the gym and getting shots up. And that's what Antonio Reeves has done to become this player. You're starting to see the pieces kind of get put together of who's going to be leading the charge in March. And it was more of that, I think, especially down the stretch. And that's all I needed to see personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you just want to continue seeing him make those strides. And he's a guy, Jack, that he's going to make shots, but he has help making those shots this year too. It's like we've said it multiple times now on the show. He doesn't have to wear the weight of the world and the pressure of winning in March on his shoulders alone. Like, you got Rob Dillingham, you got him making shots. We know that Reed Sheppard can make shots for this team. You know, Justin Edwards is starting to come along and make some plays. DJ Wagner now making some shots. So he has help there. The overall number, though, that stands out to me the most about last night is the assist number in the second half. 15 assists on 20 made shots. That's a great half of basketball. You only turn it over five times. You get 20 rebounds. You're 5 of 11 from 3, 3 of 3 at the line. Like, not a lot of free throws shot in this one. But you missed shots early, found a rhythm right there before the half. Reeves was a part of that with Rob. And then you carry that over as a team in the second half, and you get the job done. You kind of put them away. So I thought that overall, Reeves is an All-American for sure. Like, that's a guy that has put up All-American numbers. And, you know, the graphic they were showing on TV last night, I don't know if you went back and watched the game because I know you covered it and were there, but they were talking about the difference in his first 3 years of college basketball and then the last 2 years at Kentucky, Jack. And guys don't make that jump as transfers at a place like Kentucky where there's more people. Like, at Illinois State, he had the ball a ton. He was a guy taking a lot of shots. But when you look at it this year, it's been how efficient he's been across the board. Where there were some inefficiency issues a year ago with Antonio at times, those inefficient games this year, they've not piled up the way that they did a year ago. It's more efficient overall. 20 points a game on a roster that has Rob Dillingham, Reed Sheppard, and all these other guys. Like, Jack, that's probably one of the more impressive individual statistics of the Calipari era, given the guys that he plays with and the way they play, that he's scoring 20 a game for this team. Like, that's a guy that has arguably had one of the more impressive years of anyone from top to bottom of how he's improved.
It is so wild to me. There was an NBA scout that I talked to a couple days ago who said that he personally had Antonio Reeves as a late first round pick in this upcoming draft cycle. Like, when he told me that, do I genuinely think he's going to end up sliding into the end of the first? Probably not, but I don't know why. Like, I don't know why teams won't consider that. And the fact that at least one team is makes me think that maybe it's not as crazy as we think, because he has done it the right way. There were so many different paths for him to kind of take shortcuts and say, well, you know, he kind of works his way up the totem pole at Illinois State and becomes a superstar at the mid-major level. And then he says, okay, well, let me see if I could turn this into tangible success. And, you know, can I be a star at the next level? And he didn't go from Illinois State to Illinois. He didn't go to Ohio State. He made the biggest jump imaginable and said, you know what, I'm going to prove myself at the highest of levels to see if I can be an NBA player. Why the hell not? And he opens, you know, was the defensive liability. I remember being down in the Bahamas, you know, Cal making fun of him very publicly to the team, saying, you know, it's a damn good thing he can make shots. It's a damn thing, good thing he can put up 20, because he gives just as much up on the other end. That dude stinks defensively. Like, that was the – he was openly mocked for kind of how one-dimensional he was as a basketball player. So for him to take that and then take the road less traveled when things kind of got tough and he had that kind of two paths that he could have gone down this past offseason where he could have just said, you know what, I'm old, I'm ready to, you know, try my luck overseas. That's probably going to be what the long-term goal is. Why not just start now? He could have gone that when the NBA feedback clearly wasn't what he was looking for, or he could have decided to hit the portal again and taken a step down to go to that Illinois or somewhere of that level where he could get as many shots as he want, gets the green light. So for him to take all of these things and instead, as Cal put it, you know, put up 8,000 shots every 2 weeks, so 4,000 shots a week, just living in the gym to become the player, earn all of this stuff that he has gotten. That's what college basketball is about. This is the college basketball dream, what Antonio Reeves is doing. And the fact that NBA teams are now even thinking about him as a potential first-round pick, as a fifth-year senior, that is the college. That's the American dream as a college basketball player. I adore the way Antonio Reeves has handled this. And I truly hope that he gets the reward of not only a March Madness run, but the NBA payoff is also there for him as well.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about efficiencies and inefficiencies and stuff. And like last night wasn't one of his more efficient games. I mean, he was 1 of 5 from three, but it's not 8 of 17 overall, not horrible, but this is where he can kind of be himself. And there's not a ton of pressure though. Rob Dillingham, 9 of 15 for 23. Like you've always got somebody else that's right there. DJ Wagner, 3 of 5 from three. Justin Edwards, 2 of 4 from three. There's other guys making shots for this program that he's not having to wear all that. But where he is better, in my opinion, is not just in the scoring. It's the 6 rebounds last night, 4 assists. We've been seeing those things, especially the rebounding numbers, consistently across the board this year for Antonio. Like that number has climbed in addition to points, everything else with his game. So he's a more complete player now, not just a more complete scorer. I sent you all a clip today to our text group about them going floppy on a baseline out of bounds set where it comes in and they instantly go into floppy and he curls and gets a little floater out of it. Like those are the out of bounds sets where you're not trying to score on the first pass there that I'm happy that Cal's doing it. They're having much more success baseline underneath this year than they've had in the past. Where they're wanting to get it. And I thought that was a neat little wrinkle and stuff that they've been doing and going floppy out of it. And look, the reason why I'm on board with him becoming an NBA player now is, like I said this a few episodes ago, this is where floppy action actually got guys drafted. The Tyler Heroes, the Devin Bookers, the guys that operate off the basketball and away from the ball. Watch him in floppy. Watch Rob Dillingham and floppy when they go to it. And I think Cal's doing an excellent job mixing that set in to circle that he loves so much and has loved so much for over a decade.
Archaic.
It's archaic when you're trying to run it 40 times a game. But I think that it's actually changing in the pace of what they're doing offensively. And when they want to get the ball to a certain guy, they do a good job going to it. And the reason being is Rob Dillingham and Antonio Reeves, especially Antonio, elite in it. And I think that's why you're kind of seeing Cal go to it at certain moments.
Rob Dillingham, man. I mean, there was a lot to love about that game. I love the second half adjustments. I didn't love a lot of what they did, trying to shut down Mannion. I thought the game plan wasn't very efficient, kind of attacking what he did well, try to minimize kind of some of the things he did well. They just kind of let him get those paint touches, kind of chasing him rather than letting him shoot. Like it was a troublesome game plan early, but the way they kind of flipped that script in the second half and really kind of dug in, getting shots when that, kind of what we talked about, where knowing when to pick and choose the spots to draw up shots for Rob, for Antonio, while also kind of converting on the, on the other hand, that's how you saw that 5-point lead really balloon quickly. And I mean, it just felt like that the game was out of hand and really we could start focusing on, okay, well, we got this one taken care of. And, you get the late slip ups and it could have been 19, it could have been 20, whatever, but like they took care of business, did what they needed to in this one where all you had to do was just get a win in the box score. That's all that mattered at the end of the day, was just moving on, you know, surviving and advancing is kind of the territory we're in right now. So I love that. But watching Rob kind of embrace that and be the catalyst for all of it, I think even the best case scenario of what we hoped Rob would be when he got here, the microwave scorer, well, yeah, he's going to be streaky. Yeah, he's going to have, inefficient days. But, man, the reward is just so, so intriguing that you just kind of live with that stuff. When's the last time that you can truly remember a 2-for-13 game from Rob? Like, has he had one? Like, when's the last time that you truly said, this isn't Rob's night from start to finish, a true 40-minute just kind of throwaway game? I personally don't remember.
Well, that's like even the Arkansas game where he – didn't do a ton, and then he comes out of nowhere and is the guy that's kind of leading the charge for them to finish the game out. That's who Rob is. Like, Rob's bad is just a play away from being good. That's the difference in Rob Dillingham. Like, other players, you'll see a bad stretch of basketball, Jack, especially in the NCAA tournament, where they just can't get something to go, and it just carries over and carries over and carries over. Rob is just one made basket away from a breakthrough. And once it breaks and the dam breaks – It starts coming. Here comes all the good. Here comes the shot making. Here comes the flashiness, getting to the rim and the finishes you're seeing. Like, Rob, to me, the thing that stands out the most about Rob is, like, he's – and I don't think I saw this coming with him, especially in Toronto, where he struggled with contact and stuff finishing. We know that he added some size. He added some muscle. It's the strength that when he gets into the rim now of able to hang and finish some of those plays, he's got a great feel offensively for the game. Now, we know that there's some strides to be made defensively, but I just don't think that there's many teams in college basketball that have a guy that can get out and go the way he can.
I remember vividly watching Tyrese Maxey in real time and say he looks like a motorcycle going down a freeway at 120 miles an hour, where it's not just straight line speed, it's the swerving between lanes. It's the control and feel and pace to just kind of guide his way through traffic at 120 for, and then kind of come to a complete stop and finish with touch and poise at the rim, where you're like, how does he have that 0 to 100 and then back down to 0 so quickly? Like, it just blew my mind how Tyrese was able to do that. I know Jerry Stackhouse said after the game, he has a lot of Kyrie Irving to him. And I see it. I totally, with the flashiness and the dribble moves and, the advanced 2-3 steps stuff. But it's the understanding of pace and just when he takes off. It's just a rocket. That stuff is almost as valuable as the dribble moves and being able to get the paint touches, because he just controls pace so unbelievably well that, like, he's got some Allen Iverson. He's got some of that, like, whoa, baby playmaker stuff to him. And Cal said afterward, the guy that he was down the stretch where he wasn't just looking, tunnel vision as a scorer, how can I go get my 20? When he's also incorporating the playmaking and the facilitating and working the pick and roll with Z and finding lobs and the hook passes and swings and all of that stuff, Cal said he's the best play creator in college basketball. And, like, I don't know how you can watch him play and not agree with that wholeheartedly. Like, that's just who Rob Dillingham is.
Yeah, and when you look at overall, like, I talked about balanced rebounds in the box score. Balanced assist, again, by this team. Reed gets 11. We ain't even talked about that yet. Like, 11 assists. Like, that's wow. That's a guy that he scored 18, but he's responsible for 30-plus points in this game, even though he scored 8 of his own. You get Rob Dillingham, 5 assists. You get DJ Wagner, 5 assists. Antonio Reeves, 4 assists. Like, the balance there, too, that this is just a dynamic team offensively, that even if they're not making some shots, and they missed some shots early in the game that they typically would hit, and then they got hot, Jack. And it was – all it took was one shot to go in, and then here comes Rob hitting a couple. Antonio Reeves has a step back. Like, making shots and then carrying that over. Like, this is a team that they're bad on offense. Not going to last very long. They're going to start making some shots. It's about, do they defend well enough in that stretch that they're not, to carry them through it? They've got guys that are going to make shots every single night. Like, the chances of all these guys not being on, I mean, you had two get the 20-plus last night. Reed Sheppard had 32 just a few games ago in Starkville, and he has 8 last night. Like, it's just – it's somebody different every single time. Front court still figuring out that, you know, Trey Mitchell working his way back, you know, 12 minutes. I know there was some foul trouble and stuff there, still trying to figure out what he's doing and how he's wanting to play. But this backcourt, when it comes to the offensive end of the floor, I'm not sure there's a backcourt in college basketball I trust more than Kentucky.
And I appreciate that Cal kind of talked about the big picture stuff with DJ. There was this back and forth banter with Ryan Black that just cracked. I love Ryan Black. He is the funniest dude. I just think the world of him. But Cal, for whatever reason, just loves picking on him. And it becomes this back and forth. Every time like Ryan Black says something, Cal, for whatever reason, like feels the need to be like, well, you'd miss 40 straight. If DJ missed 15 straight, you'd miss 40. And it's like, well, yeah, of course he would. But it's just funny that they – and like Ryan just responds right back and goes, yeah, well, I'm not a D1 athlete. I know I stink. Like that, he has just really embraced the kind of back and forth banter. I just love
– What was it he said? Was it the one game where he's like, I refereed before? You know, something like that he said?
I forgot about that. That was so
yeah. – So this started in November.
It was Cal saying something like, well, you've never played before. And he goes, well, I've officiated before. I've been a referee. Yeah. Oh, God, it was hilarious. But in that moment, you know, I think Ryan was trying to talk about, hey, DJ missed 15 straight threes, and like Cal was just ready to attack, ready to pounce for his dude. And I think Ryan was like, whoa, dude, I'm kind of like giving DJ props. Give me a second. Like, let me breathe. Damn, dude. But once he kind of got his spiel off and said, what does it say about DJ to be able to respond after a 0 for 15 slump, where I think he was shooting like 15% from the field over that like full month stretch from like January 23rd to February 24th, I believe. It was like 16% from the field, 0% from three. I mean, just, you know, wasn't getting anything going offensively. And Cal acknowledged that it's bigger than basketball for DJ and said that he has been chased his entire basketball, basically since he was an eighth grader. Even before that, just, you know, there was so much on him to be the first third generation NBA talent that, I mean, the weight of the basketball world is on his shoulders. And Cal was like, so understand that as he's navigating these things, you know, he's been dealing with the Nikes and the weight of the basketball world on his shoulders. So do you really think a 15, you know, shot slump is going to throw him off his game? Like, do you really think that's going, you know, he's a guy that has overcome all of that stuff, that once he kind of gets between those white lines, everything else just kind of is tuned out. He kind of gets in his own little world. So he was like, so I never doubted that he was going to be able to bounce back and have that. And I asked DJ about it after the game, and he kind of had some like, I don't see that as pressure. I know that people try to make a name off of my name and what the DJ Wagner status is and all that. He was like, but none of that matters to me because this is just a game. I do this for fun. I have a support system around me that they make it, you know, they drive it home and make it very clear to me that like nothing matters outside of this basketball realm. Just focus on what's right in front of you and enjoy this. This is fun. This is not a job for you. This is what you were born to do. Enjoy it and embrace that. And he was like, so yeah, is it frustrating when I miss shots? Of course, because I have the muscle memory and I've been trained to make these shots. So when I don't, it's more of a frustration than a like getting down on myself with confidence. So all of that stuff being said, that mentality, I still feel like we're waiting for DJ's March moment. He's been good. He's had a three-game stretch where he's shooting like 65% from the field and 64% from three. I think he's starting to make shots. He's driving with confidence again. He's, you know, looking to facilitate. He's doing really, really kind of inch by inch solid things. He's going to have a moment, Sean, where he becomes the DJ Wagner. Like, it's going to be the DJ Wagner game where he's going to win Kentucky a game in March. I know we say that. There's a lot of guys who can do it, but I could not be more confident that DJ Wagner is somebody that you sign specifically to win you a game in March. And I think that's we're almost there. He's like 95%. I feel it. He's almost there. He just needs to kind of turn that last little corner. He's third on third rounding home.
The biggest thing that's happened for DJ to me over the last couple of games is the early shots that have kind of fallen for him. Like, that is just a big confidence boost early in the game. When teams are daring you to take shots and you see one or two go in the opening 5-6 minutes of the game, that really settles you in, especially when you've struggled the way that he had. And look, you're seeing some of the same struggles right now with Trey. We're trying to get back in a rhythm and kind of figuring out how he was playing and who he was. You're finally starting to see it. I don't know what in the world's going on upstairs here. Sounds like somebody's playing hockey on the roof, but something's going on. But we'll ignore that. But DJ, to me, Jack, I think you're right about having a March moment. And he's put himself in position and starting to play good basketball again. And that just makes Kentucky even stronger.
In the shots he's making, what does that do for the other stuff that's like actually his bread and butter? Because shot making has never been like, oh, DJ is known as a shot maker. He's a guy who is a, you know, confident and competent shot maker, but his bread and butter is getting the paint touches and finishing and dishing. And like, that's what his game is. So these early shots that he's been taking and making, how much is that opening up everything else in his game? That's what I'm waiting to see in March. When he has that, he's going to hit an early three. They're going to overcompensate for that because he's been on this little heater. And then that's going to lead to DJ going in his little playground, that paint area. And he's going to become the Camden High School DJ Wagner very, very quickly. And I can feel it. It's just there around the corner.
That's a good point, because if he continues to shoot the ball the way that he is, just and he's knocking down good shots. They're not bad shots that he's taking. If he can continue to show that for a stretch 5 to 6 games going into the tournament, you're right, because then you have to change how you guard him. You have to at least respect it if he's going to knock down 2 or 3 threes a game and only shooting 4 or 5. Like, you have to at least guard him a little bit. So then, like you said, he can get to that left hand, which then gets Reed Shepherd, it gets Lobs to Z, it gets all of it kind of flowing in together. Kentucky, we talked about it. Kentucky needs DJ to make a run. Like, they need that guy that can kind of dictate some ball pressure and stuff and kind of the pace that they're wanting to play with and guard with. Like, he does an excellent job fighting over screens and everything defensively. He's tough. He's physical. Having that tough physical piece, also able to knock down shots while getting in the paint, I think that's the out of all the guards, he's just different than the others. And they need that guy touching the paint as much as possible, the same way they need a Duthiero to be able to touch the paint. Adu's another guy, Jack, that I think is playing really well right now and doing some good stuff. And honestly, if Trey is taking a little longer to figure things out, maybe you give more to Adu at that spot, you know, moving forward, as physical as he is. I mean, there's always one or two a game that Adu is just hanging on the rim right on somebody's head, just putting back one. And has shown us that he can knock down outside shots and open shots while rebounding and being physical. He played, what, 20 minutes last night? 6-6.
Yep,
6-6 in 20 minutes. So, like, if that's a guy that's playing 30, he's probably right there to double-double every single night. So there's more decisions to be made on the interior and the front court than there are in the back court. The back court, to me, is set, and it's settled. I think you know who you're closing games with. I think you know who your shot makers are at that spot. I think the question is, where do you go at the 4-5 when it matters most in crunch time? And how about last night, the kind of the applause and the reaction when it wasn't just Robin Reed going in alone? It was Z going in with him. And you put three skilled offensive players in the game at once, and you're the away coach. And I know last night was senior night, so Kareem, you know, got in there and started. But when those three guys check in, oh boy, you're the opposing coach. You're instantly having to guard even more than what you were in the opening couple minutes of the game. And I know we've talked about whether or not they should start. And I think that those lineups need to be figured out by the tournament. But if you're the opposing coach and you're seeing those guys go check at the table, it don't matter. You know exactly what you're about, the challenge ahead when you're having to guard those guys.
It reminds me of when that video of LeBron shooting free throws and he looks over his shoulder and Kawhi's at the scorer's table and he goes, I guess that's a, like, as I'm sitting there watching Z and Rob and Reed go to the scorer's table together as a one big massive unit, it's like, oh boy, that's I could not imagine being Ezra Manjan going, damn man, I thought we were just starting to get there.
It works out even more if the lineup that you're replacing is actually produced too and done something, like, because then you're thinking, you know, here we go. It's but like, I mean, there's some stuff coming together for this team. Did you see that the Florida loss at Rupp moved to quad one?
Oh, I did not. I did not see that actually.
So that's a 5-6 quad one record now. So only 2-1 in the quad two. So that one's a quad one loss now. They moved up. They're 27th in the net. I just now saw that when I was pulling up to look at resume here. So Mississippi State game, I know we talked about it. Possibly the one at Rupp getting to a quad one. It's probably not without a
drop to 39. Yep.
But you get Florida that at least, you know, it's not a quad two loss. That's a good Florida team. That's a Florida team that's got a backcourt, Jack, that I think can really make some noise in the NCAA tournament. Like we had, like, I remember when they first played Kentucky, we talked when that game in Gainesville, I was like, that's a tournament team. And they have gotten better and better and better as the season's gone along. I mean, I know that they've had some moments where they're like, you know, some losses here and there, but overall they've been great in league play.
Yeah. The resume, it is what it is. The losses that we have aren't disappearing. The wins are very solid. There are a couple that, you know, it just sucks that the Miami game didn't turn the way that we thought it would, that some of these others that were right on, you know, the Mississippi State, like the quality of wins that we saw as they were unfolding, you wish that translated in actual resume growth, but it didn't. But we're now past that point where.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The net is what it is. The bracketology, us being the 13 right now, you win in Knoxville, then you get to Sunday, then none of that matters because you're a 3 and maybe even a 2 anyway. So you've done enough to put yourself in the conversation. I think that's all we talked about this entire season when we talked about the highs and lows and, well, they could go down this path where they don't even make the tournament. If things do this, this, and this, they've answered the bell in so many different areas that now that they are in that position, it is what it is. The resume is what it is. Let's just see just win the games. Now we're at the point where you just win, survive in advance, and you have put yourself in position with some of these quality wins and putting together this momentum down the stretch where you can feel confident about a firm 3. Like, I feel really good as things stand right now that, you know, even if it's an average, you know, a solid finish to the year, and maybe not perfect, but a very solid finish, maybe you lose close at Tennessee and then make it to Sunday, or, you know, even win it. Who knows? But whatever the formula between Saturday and in Nashville, I feel confident that they're going to hold firm at that 3 and not slip down to a 4, definitely below that, but still having a very slight outside shot at a 2. And that's where we want it. That's all we wanted to be, to, you know, put yourself in position and really, you know, you have a fighting chance in terms of the path. You didn't want to get put, you know, at a disadvantage in the round of 32 or whatever. Now we can pretty confidently say we're going to avoid that.
Yeah, and two, when you look at the stretch of play that they're on, and you can't remove games, obviously, but LSU and the buzzer beater loss there, it's the only thing standing in between a 7-game winning streak right now. Mm-hmm. And they've had moments where they've scared you. Arkansas down 9 with 9 to play scared the hell out of me. Last night, late first half, when they're making shots and you're just thinking, oh, here we go again. We've been in this situation before with Vandy, letting them hang around. But then Kentucky made shots to kind of separate itself going into the half. They've had moments where it's not been great, but they're winning. And for a stretch of play there in January, early February, they were losing. But I know they were losing to good teams, Tennessee, Florida, things like that. But since that Gonzaga game, they've actually put some success together here to close the season. They've got three quad one wins in that stretch. I have no idea. That might be lacrosse up there, Braxton. I don't know, but can you hear that?
Barely. It's fine.
It's literally like it's like Santa Claus is on the roof doing something, or like it's like they're playing ice hockey upstairs. I don't know what's going on, but crazy stuff. But we're talking quad one wins and resume down here.
I do want to get your thoughts on Cal talk. You know, you talking about us being down nine against Arkansas. Cal has said several times that that game scared the crap out of him. And he basically did it. You know, it was an early tip. He did an early shoot around, something that he doesn't typically do. He kind of drove that point home that this is a trap game. Did that help or hurt? Is that something that they went into that tight, and or did it help them avoid something worse where they overlooked it and it could have swung the other direction had they, you know, as a coach, how does that mindset, you know, because it wasn't like he was internally nervous. He very clearly pushed that onto the team for better, or, you know, it ended up being a win. So clearly it worked, but as a coach, how would your response to something where you kind of see that trap game in your mind and know that that might be a tricky one?
As a coach, you always trust your gut. And if your gut's telling you leading up to something that you view it and you just have that feeling, then you go exactly what you want to do. And if you think that having a shoot around is the best thing, then you do it. And one example is our guys here, we started the year with after-school walkthroughs on game days. And then we started noticing our guys getting tired because those were long days. Like, you get to school at a certain hour, you do a walkthrough, you do a team meal, and by the time you're on a bus and somewhere, you're playing at 8 o'clock. That's 12, 13 hour day before you even play. So we switched it and we're having some success with it. And then we had a game come up and we had a bad 30 minute segment to close a practice. And the next day we brought them in for a walkthrough. And it was because we trusted our gut and it worked out. So like in situations like that, if you see something, this is the same scenario a year ago where you have Vandy coming in on senior night and then you go on the road for a quad one. I believe Arkansas was a quad one last year at that time. You got a quad one opportunity in Knoxville Saturday. You just couldn't lose some momentum by letting Vandy slip up and catch you before you go to Thompson Bowling on Saturday and play the team that clinched the league last night. Like that's an important game. Saturday is the one for seeding. To me, Saturday's the one that doesn't do anything to winning the league. Nothing like that. That's out of play. Obviously, seeding in the SEC tournament still in play, but it's more so for seeding in the NCAA tournament and kind of just getting something back because you didn't even have a chance to win that game at Rupp Arena. I know it was 11-point loss, but at no point did you lead. And that was probably one of the more embarrassing moments of the season was how Tennessee just kind of punked Kentucky for 40 minutes. And you know, I'm actually going out and saying that Saturday is going to be a rock fight. It's not going to be it's not going to be up in the 80s. It's not going to be in the 90s. It's going to be one of those, I think, in the 60s, where I think two teams are actually going to defend at a very high clip. I think Kentucky's going to defend well. And I just think that the environment, it's going to be one of those where Kentucky's going to have to gut it out, kind of like they did last year in Knoxville, where it wasn't really the offense that carried them. So that's my prediction, that Saturday is going to actually be a defensive war on Rocky Top.
How much does Tennessee winning the league and having that locked up and not having anything to play for? They have a one seed to play for. So it's not, I mean, they have something to play for, but in terms of the now, there's kind of this narrative out there right now that they now have nothing to play for. Yes or no? Is that something that's going to affect them at all going into Saturday?
No, you and I've been in that building plenty of times for this game. And me and you can both tell people, and anybody listening to the show that's been in there, that building will be the best it's been all season on Saturday, regardless of whether they won the league or not. That will be the best Thompson Bowling is all season. And that's not a knock on their fan base. Like that's a great environment down there. That is just, it's Kentucky. You're the champions of the SEC. That fan base is rallying behind Dalton Connect and how great of a player he is individually. They've got a lot of – here's the other side. They got a lot of guys that have been pillars of their program that they're celebrating on Saturday afternoon for senior day. To me, that gives you more of an edge if you're Kentucky to go in there and kind of ruin their day. Like, this is the typical John Calipari. Let's come in here and let's come to their town and beat them. Let's beat them and send out those fifth year guys with a loss in their final game on Rocky Top. That's the mindset that I'd be going in with Kentucky. And you kind of want to prove that. I mean, you gave up 103 points to Tennessee. Rick Barnes is not known for setting the world on fire offensively, and you gave up 103 to them. Like, that's why I think that this game is going to settle down, and you're going to have two guys that have coached a lot of basketball for a very long time come up with really good defensive game plans. And I think you're going to get one of those second game NCAA tournament, third game NCAA tournament type feels of an atmosphere where it's going to be possession by possession. You're going to have to execute down the stretch. And we could see this game again in a few days. You remember the last one we saw in Knoxville, and me and you were together a couple years ago, ugly as could be. Then we go to Tampa and it got even uglier just by the how it was. That's the type of game that I'm expecting, is I'm not expecting them to all make shots. I think you're going to have a rough stretch of play for both teams, but I think it's going to be because they're defending their tails off. Like, Kentucky, to me, knows what's at stake here too. But Tennessee also is trying to put itself in position because, look, Jack, like, these are guys that have been in that program for a long time, and I know Rick Barnes and that fan base probably feels like this is their best shot to get to a Final Four or make a run. History's not been on their side when they've had good teams. They have to break through too. But to me, Kentucky, I think, knows the challenge, and I think that they want to prove that they're much better than what they were on February 3rd.
If this Tennessee team doesn't make a Final Four, I don't know what it would take. I mean, I don't.
And I know that early on this season, I came on here and I talked about Tennessee. And a lot of the things that I said about them, you're starting to kind of see from them. Like, that is a good basketball team. And they have a difference maker in Dalton Connect. Like, you know, Rick told me that day at practice, like, he's going to score 40 points. Well, how many times has he been right around that number and stuff this season? That's a really good individual player in college basketball. But they've got other guys, too, on that roster. Like, that's a good basketball team. This is two teams, I think, that can go on deep runs in the NCAA tournament from the league. And if I were picking teams to do it, it would be these two from the SEC. So I just think that Kentucky's commitment to the defensive end Saturday, I think you're going to see them really defend and play with the energy that maybe we haven't seen sustained on that end of the floor, which I think maybe could take them out of some stuff offensively. And we know Tennessee's going to sit and guard as well. And I think that the pace is going to be a little bit different and stuff. And that's why maybe this thing gets to the low 70s. But I think it's going to be one to where maybe you look at it and you get a little bit of confidence going to the league tournament of what Kentucky can do. And I think Kentucky's winning this game is what I'm saying.
Ooh. So what that would mean is with – how, because you won against Vanderbilt, you have secured a 5 at minimum, no 6, which is gold, exactly what we were rooting for. There is a very clear path if you beat Tennessee for a 2. Like, if the other stuff around the board has opened up pretty nicely for that 2 slot if you are able to take care of business in Knoxville. So the path, I know it sounds, you know, if you look at the advanced analytics, the best chance right now that this team has is a 5. But if you win in Knoxville, everything kind of changes that, and the odds are like 90% in your favor of a 2, maybe like 97% for a 2 or whatever. So it's a really, really important game in terms of the timing. Obviously, the double bye, that's the biggest priority. Just avoid Thursday at all costs. But you can also kind of pick and choose the Tuesday or the you know, 3:30 versus 7 o'clock versus 9:30. Those things are important too for the turnarounds. We talked about that a couple of days ago. So the 2 is gold. Like, if you can manage the 2, that is priority number one for this team right now. If you know, now that it's opened up for them, it feels like the path is just kind of like creating itself for that 2 to avoid, you know, basically set up a rematch on Sunday against Tennessee. That would be, you know, kind of what everybody's rooting for down there in Nashville. So the opportunities there, looking at KenPom right now, the projected line is 9 at a 21% chance for Kentucky to win at 86-77. What are we thinking the opening FanDuel line is going to be with that one, Sean?
I'm going to say 5.5 Tennessee.
Feels about right.
And like even, you know, even KenPom's got a little bit of a lower score than some scores Kentucky's had, like when it comes to projections. And it's not going to, I don't think it's going to be like the Auburn score where, you know, Auburn's in the 50s. Like I think Tennessee's going to score some points, but I'm just thinking this thing settles in somewhere around like 70 to 67, 70 to 68, something like that. Like Rick Barnes' team's going to defend. They don't want to give up 92 again to Kentucky, even though they scored 103. And I don't see Tennessee scoring 100 plus on this team. But Jack, this just has a feel to me. You know, last year when Kentucky went into that environment, nobody predicted Kentucky to win. And I remember on our episode that we recorded after that win, we were shocked. With that was where they kind of started to get some stuff right. Well, we know the wheels fell off a little bit more later, but the COVID year, nobody expected Kentucky and Isaiah Jackson, that group, to go down there and win. They won. Take it back further to me, 2011, Kentucky lost all these road games, all these close games by like a basket or a shot at the horn. And they went down there and had one of their most important stretches of play where they played their best basketball in the final 12. Brandon Knott hit big shots. Kentucky won, and then it carried momentum over to the SEC tournament, then to the NCAA tournament. This is the type of game that I think can kind of propel Kentucky that same way. That's why I think that Cal's going to view this one. And look, we know Cal has – and when it comes to losing games, Tennessee's beaten him quite a few times since he's been at Kentucky. Like, there have been some good Tennessee basketball teams over there. This is one that I think Cal's going to be up for. You get a chance to say, okay, that's the champion of the league. Let's go beat them today on their home floor and kind of find out what we're made of. So I think Cal's going to have his guys ready.
Yeah, I completely agree. We'll get that opening spread on Friday at some point, but until then, get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150. If your bet wins, bet on all of your favorite NBA players and obviously college basketball players and teams with quick bets, live same game parlays, exclusive props, and more. And it just came through that there is a profit boost token this week for the games on March 9th, which includes a 30% boost for that UNC Duke game, which is obviously one that we're going to be keeping a very close eye on for, you know, seeding purposes for the national rankings and all that stuff. So that's going to be a high profile weekend where it's kind of a mini rivalry week that we are very, very excited for in partnering with FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Pilgrim and shoot your shot. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA, 21 and older and present in Kentucky. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.com or .fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. While we're talking about the trip to Knoxville, I'll be making my way. I know Sean will be busy on Saturday. You got some business to take care of that I feel very confident in our sources say home Broncos over there. But I'll be down in Knoxville where it's going to be a rowdy environment, as you guys know. But I'm looking at game time right now, and there are some seats available if you want to come, you know, be a part of ruining the experience for that god-awful orange down there. There's some pretty intriguing options. They're $124 to get in, $126 all in. Don't have to worry about extra fees and extra nonsense. It's all right there for you. You shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Now isn't the time for guesswork with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the best price guaranteed. Game Time does all of the hard work for you. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, and even an hour after it starts, it is the place to find last-minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsor deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. And the Game Time guarantee means you will always get the best price if you find tickets in the same section and row for less. Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Sean, I don't know about you, but this $118 all-in from section 312, row 22 looks like my ticket for Thompson Bowling.
Yeah, and you need to get in there because there's nothing better than the final 30 seconds, 40 seconds of a road game at Rocky Top with Go Big Blue chants. Like that's and there'll be a lot of Kentucky fans will get in there. So use Game Time. If you've never been to Thompson Bowen Arena, it's actually a very, very nice arena on the inside. Like it's outside doesn't look as good, but the inside looks great. And not a bad seat in the place. Get in there and help Kentucky get a massive road victory going into to conference tournament play.
I mean, I was there, in the hump down in Starkville, and I was there for that last 30 seconds when it became very clear, after that, when the teams were kind of rolling off and the fans were, upset leaving, hearing that Go Big Blue was like, dang, man, that is freaking sweet. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. It'd be an awesome moment. I'm going to be down there. Can't wait for BBN to join me. Make sure you do it with our friends at Game Time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code KSR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code KSR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Sean, massive 48 hours for this program as we head into Friday. Get ready for that trip to Knoxville. And then obviously all hands on deck on Saturday. You have business to take care of earlier in the day, but I believe you'll be out in time to be able to watch it and be all in on Kentucky taking down the Vols in Knoxville. Give me your biggest key to a win over the Vols.
Weather the storm. In that building, you got to weather it. You can't because, Jack, that building can overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. And when Tennessee starts, if they make shots and you're not making shots, that building can pop like some of the best in college basketball, especially for that one game when Kentucky's in town. You just have to weather it. If you have a stretch like you did last night where you're not making them and Vandy's making them or Tennessee's making them, just trust what you're doing. Kentucky's going to start making shots. Rob's going to make them. Reeves is going to make them. Reed's going to make them. Just weather the storm, the early one. Survive the first blow and then and give yours as well. And I think Kentucky's going to put itself in position to get a win.
Who's going to be the road dog? Who's going to be the Reed Shepherd in Starkville, Rob Dillingham down the stretch against Vandy? Who's going to be the one to bring him across the finish line?
That building is made for Rob Dillingham, I think.
Ooh.
I think Rob's the guy that's going to thrive off of it. And I think that he's going to make shots in that environment down the stretch and put Kentucky in a position to come away with a big win. But it's going to take more than just Rob, but I think that's the guy that I want taking some shots, him and Reed.
I was going to say DJ, but I want to wait. I want his moment to come in real postseason time and let Rob Cook to get us there. I want Rob's gonna have his moments. Obviously he's gonna have like a Kemba Walker type run, but I want to let DJ get his big March moment in the winter go home opportunity. So I'm not gonna go all in on him. I think I'm gonna go one last regular season finale road trip superstar performance from Antonio Reeves. The same thing that he did down in Fayetteville. I think we're going to get the same vibes from Antonio. We actually asked Antonio what his favorite moment was at Kentucky in terms of like environment and vibe and feel. And he said the home win against Tennessee last year was the one that kind of, he just remembers the way Rupp Arena echoed in his ear. And he, the way he talked about it being a bitter feeling, losing earlier in the year in the rivalry. I think he's kind of having his eye set on this trip to Knoxville. So you got Rob, I got Antonio Reeves to wrap up this regular season.
No, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. It may be both of them. And if it's both of them, you've got to feel really good about Kentucky winning. I'm just that's at 4:00. We play at noon. I really hope that I'm sitting there at 4 celebrating and watching what could be a second win of the day.
We're all rooting for the Frederick Douglass Broncos over here. Big run coming up to Rupp Arena. So we're looking forward to it, man. Everybody here at Sources Say KSR headquarters is rooting on Frederick Douglass, and it's going to be a good little ride.
Two more wins. But this region's a monster, man. And there's four really good teams left. And the crazy thing is there were people at our district championship game at Bryan Station, Jack, where probably had about 3,000 people in the building, and about 45 minutes before tip-off, they closed the doors, and there was hundreds left outside. Could not get in.
I think Daniel, our producer, was one of them.
All right. Yeah. I was wondering where Daniel was, because he told me he was going to be there. But there were a lot of people outside. You saw pictures on Facebook and stuff of people standing out in the rain. But Dunbar hold, I think they're limiting ticket sales to 4,200 people, and then they're shutting it down. And they're emptying the gym after each session. So it's us and Catholic, and then it's Crossing and Madison Southern after. So we'll see. I'm confident that we have a good team and have a chance, but we'll see how these guys respond. We got guys that have been there before.
How can I'm going to ask where fans can find your work, but where can fans watch your Douglas Broncos win on Saturday?
Glycod. Go to the Glycod YouTube page. They're carrying the entire 11th region tournament. So if you go to Glycod, they'll go on air at 11:30 Saturday morning, take you all the way up to tip off. And hopefully you're celebrating with me.
Oh, let's do it. Let's make it happen. It's going to be a big weekend for everybody around here. Appreciate each and every one of you guys for joining us. You can find my work on Twitter at Jack Pilgrim KSR. Read it on Kentucky Sports Radio. Go subscribe to KSR Plus. Join that growing community. It is an absolute blast. And again, if you are not subscribed to KSR YouTube page, why? What more do you need? What are you waiting for? We got we're literally going into a March run. Now is the perfect time to do that. So keep on following along. Appreciate each and every one of you. We will see you on Sunday, hopefully Sunday, to break down hopefully a big win for Frederick Douglass and hopefully a big win for the Kentucky Wildcats over the Tennessee Volunteers. We will see you then.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.